There is so much that goes into one bottle of wine. So much time, so many resources, so much careful thought.
This big body of water, Lake Michigan, it has so much love to give us.
I was the young generation, now I'm the old one. It's funny how that happens, you know?
I'm adverse to publications of wine to some degree because the people that are writing these articles are living in a vacuum.
Americans have embraced wine more. We've become more of a wine culture.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 329. This week, we feature Salvatore Avalone of Villa Matilde, Italy.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Every wine tells a story. Each growing season, it's our goal to create an artisan Napa Valley wine of exceptional quality. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
One great way to appreciate Italian wine is at an Italian restaurant in Chicago. We met with Salvatore Avalone of Villa Matilde Winery at Macello Italian Restaurant just a few weeks ago. Wine education is a big thing for us, and Salvatore's vast knowledge of Italian wine history was impressive. Salvatore speaks excellent English, so listen close, and you may learn a bit of Italian. You can also hear Salvatore on our Vino Lingo segment, defining the wine term clay amphora. Well, I'm in Chicago today, and I'm here with a very special guest, Salvatore Avalone of Villa Matilde. And, of course, Salvatore's from Italy, if nobody's guessed by the name. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to stay here with you and to tell something about the story of my family, the story of my region, and basically the story of my favorite wine, the Falerno del Massico, the ancient Falerno.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to hearing the story. And I should state that we're at Macello Restaurant in Chicago, this incredible Italian restaurant with so much feel to it. One of the key words you said for me was family.
Yeah.
Which is such an important thing in Italy, but it's also important in wine altogether, isn't it?
But it's also important for me and for the story of my wine. The Villa Matilde estate has been created from my father during the 60s with a special project to resuscitate the ancient Falerno wine. Falerno, 2,000 years ago, was the favorite wine of Julius Caesar, Marshall, Plinius, and many, many others during that time, and was something like a legend. But unfortunately, in the hand of 19th century, the phylloxera destroyed 98% of the vineyards in the Falerno area. So my father, my mother dedicated 15 years of their life to study the ancient books in which Falerno wine was described and to try to rebuild, to resuscitate this ancient important part of enological story of the south of Italy, of my region, Campania. So you can understand that the story of my family is very strictly connected with the story of Villa Matilde and with the story of Falerno wine.
I understand. I just want to point out one thing, that we're obviously, being in Chicago, we're right next to the L, so we're going to hear it going by from time to time. That's just the reality of the interview. So 2,000 years, that's a bit of amazing history. I guess the simplest question I can ask you, changes in style, changes in how the wines were made. I mean, was this very dramatic?
Yeah, the changes was totally, but in the style of production, in the taste of the wine, but the terroir is exactly the same in which we produce the modern Falerno. The grape varieties are the direct descendant of the ancient grape varieties used since Roman time to produce the Falerno wine of Julius Caesar. So we can say that in one end we have 2,000 years of history, in the other hand we have the best modern technology, and we want to blend these two important parts of our story. If you want, you can describe why the Falerno is born and what was the ancient Falerno in the taste and how he was produced, with that, what kind of rules the Romans used to produce this type of wine. Because you know that the grape varieties and the grape cultivation technique arrived in south of Italy during the first Greek colonization of south of Italy. Before the Greek people arrived in Italy, don't exist a cultivation and a production of wine in Europe, in Italy, in France, in Spain, because all the main grape varieties in the south of Italy arrived from Greek islands. When the Greek population arrived in Campania region first, in the eyes of Ischia, and then in the internal side of our region, they created many different colonies and they planted their own grape varieties using the same technique that they have always used and they know very well in their Greek islands. So you can understand why the main grape varieties that you have in Campania are called Greco. Greco is not necessary to translate, mean a grape varieties arrived from Greek islands, or in red, Aglianico. Aglianico is the Italian corruption of the ancient Latin name Hellenicum, that means again grape variety from Hellade, the ancient name of Greek island.
This is one of the best educations I've ever gotten about Italian wines.
Yeah.
Tell me something now. As we look at the map of Italy, we're talking about southern Italy.
Campania region is the region of Naples, and we are located in the south of Italy. Not the extreme south like Sicily or Puglia, but we are closer to Tuscany and Lazio. So our climate condition are between the climate condition of Tuscany and the climate condition very dry of Sicily or Puglia. So Villa Matilde actually is located, and we own winery and cellars in two different areas of Campania. The area of Falerno del Massico, the ancient wine of the Romans, there, close to the border between Lazio and the sea coast, this one. And then close to Irpinian era. Irpinian era is the era close to Avellino city, in the middle of the region, a very cold mountainous area in which is produced Greco di Tufo and Fiano di Avellino white wines and the red famous Taurasi.
I guess a simple question is, how did you arrive at the name? Is that from history? Or is that something that came more later on?
The name of the winery.
Villa Matilde.
Villa Matilde. Villa in Latin means farm. And Matilde was the name of my mother. So my father dedicated to the wine all his efforts and study to create and to develop this estate. So Villa Matilde, the meaning of Villa Matilde is the cellar, the Villa Matilde winery.
Sure. I had a feeling it had something to do with that. Your period of time in the business, now, as I understand it, you were an attorney, you were a lawyer, or you are a lawyer.
No, I was. I was a lawyer. My father also was a lawyer. He was in passion with the vine, and me too. So in 1987, I decided to stop with my first job, but not my main job. I was born, and I was grown up between the vineyards of my father and my mother. So with them, I every day studied and made my experience in winemaking and growing vines.
So you were involved in every part of making the wine? I mean, were you a winemaker at one time, literally making the wine?
Villa Matilde is owned by my sister and I. And I follow the export market and the production with an agronomist and a full-time winemaker, Fabio Gennarelli, and with one of the, in my opinion, the best winemaker in Italy, Riccardo Cotarella. We worked together since 25 years ago. And is a big friend of me also, and we cooperate in studying, developing, and production. Both Falerno, Greco, and Fiano, and Taurasi wines, and Falanghina, and Adiaccio, all the wines of Villa Matilde.
So something very different in Italy versus the United States is you were raised around the wine. There was no idea about alcohol being a bad thing. If anything, it was a good thing, right? In Italy,
the main difference, in my opinion, is the occasion in which the Italian people drink the wine and the American people. So both, we used to drink the wine during our meal at the table, but in Italy it's not so easy, just in some region of the north, to drink wine outside the meal. So in United States, the people used to drink a lot of wine during the day with the friends, just to have a sip. And this change the type of characteristic of wine that people are looking for. In Italy, so the Italian people prefer some wines with a very good high acidity, because normally they match the wines with foods or in this type of occasion. And also for red, they like the tannins. The Americans instead prefer wine much more rounded, full-bodied. So they want to give a caress to their palate, to their mouth. So much more rounded wines has been appreciated.
We were talking before, you said you were here in the United States some years ago, and now you're on an extended tour. Is there an area that you really focus on, because there is such a difference between American wines and Italian wines?
But I think that for me is a very happy moment to communicate the story of my family, the story of my wine. So there isn't a special area in which I think could be much more important to communicate. In these days, I've met a lot of people. Everybody was very impressed with the story of Falerno, the ancient technique, and also with the modern taste of this type of wine. Because for me, in my opinion, to be a winemaker, a wine producer, is like to produce not just wine, but emotions. So in one bottle of wine, of my wine, I want to concentrate all the millennium of the culture of my people, of my region, all millennium and millennium of experience in winemaker. And when you have a sip of my wine, I want to transport yourself in between my vineyards, close to the Gulf of Naples, and eating a pizza or a mozzarella cheese. So with the same parfum, with the same emotion in your mouth and also in your heart.
It's true, because it is about emotion, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to think about this history behind you, so many years that rests on your shoulders.
Yeah.
But also looking to the future, you'll be looked back at down the road. And that's a lot to carry with you, isn't it? I mean, to think about, you really got to do this well.
For me, to produce Falerno wine, and all the wine in my region, is a big responsibility. We have 2,000 years, again, of production, this wine. And Falerno don't was just a wine. I said you before, was something like a legend. The top wine in Italy and in Campania region during Roman Imperial Age. So I want to stay in touch with this story. I want to have the right evolution. I want to find the right evolution in winemaking, in the flavors of my wines, in the characteristic of my wine. And Villa Matilde decide to remain a producer of grapes. So we use just our own grapes produced in our own vineyards to produce all our wine with indigenous grape varieties. We have Aglianico, Greco, Fiano, Piedirosso. We don't have one vine of international varieties or different varieties. We want to study, to research, to develop the enormous potential of our indigenous grape variety.
Do you do wines that are vineyard select?
Yeah. We select the bunches, but before we select the vines, the particular type of vines that you have. You remember I said that my father studied for years and years to find the grapes that was the direct descendant of the grape varieties used since Roman's time to produce the Falerno wine. So, in easy way, we sell that white Falerno is made with the Falanghina and the red Falerno with the blend of Aglianico or Piedirosso. But it's not the normal Falanghina or Aglianico that you can have. Are two different and special biotype that my father selected after 20 years of study and research, and was a particular biotype, so very well connected and evolved with the special terroir of Falerno.
Excellent. With all the experience you had, certainly with your family, being in the business of making wine, and I'm sure you've done plenty of interviews, media meetings, what is the question that you don't get asked that you would like to be asked?
Me ne fanno tantissime. I have many, many, many questions. Oh, wow. So probably the question, but it's not just a question, is a type of relationship with the people that make me the question. And normally the interviewer or the common people that drink the wine, not just my wine, all the wine, don't know how many years and years and years of study, of research, how many efforts, how many people are involved in the vineyards, in the cellar, in the wine study, research, and winemaking process to arrive to a simple glass of wine. So many people judge the wine, and this is correct, but few people ask why that wine has that type of flavor, that type of fragrance, and what is the connection between the terroir, the vineyards, the grape varieties, the culture of wine territory, and the history of wine territory. So the wine is a concentration of all this thing.
There's a lot going on inside that bottle.
I think that winemaking is the only type of job that give us the opportunity to work for the future today, to create the future today, to work today with one eye in the past and two eyes in the present time. So in the same time, we have to manage many different things, opportunity and creation. When I plant a vine today, if I plant a vine today, I have to know what could be the market that I can find after 10, 12 years, because I need not less than 8 years to have the grape on the vines. And then we have to pick the grapes, to ferment, to refine the wines for other 3, 4 or more years. So when I plant a vine today, I have to I need to have the right idea in my project, what kind of wine I want to sell after 10, 12 years.
It's hard, it is, and you just said it, looking into the future, there's a lot of responsibility. In many parts of the world, especially in the United States, we're having issues with labor, people to pick the grapes, people to work in the cellar. Are you running into any labor issues in Italy at all?
Yeah, is a big problem, I think, all around the world. It's not easy to find people that want to work, but to work in the vineyards is not just a work. You need to have the right experience and sensibility and feeling. You have to stay in touch and you have to understand every single vine. So it's necessary to give the right experience and information to the people that work with us, just for to pick the grape or to for the pruning or for to cultivate the soil and so on. We are lucky because in our region we are a lot of people that love to work in the vineyards. It's not important, in my opinion, if the people that work in the vineyards are Italians or Africans or Asiatic or so on. The main thing is they want and they to work in the vineyards with love, with attention, and with like professional people. And we want to build this type of sensibility and formation in the people.
It's a very, very good answer. Thank you. That was very good.
Thanks.
One thing, obviously, everybody's dealing with all over the planet is issues with climate. Many wineries here are harvesting as much as 2 weeks earlier than they do traditionally. And over the last decade, that's what I've heard. Are you running into the same thing in your part of Italy?
Yeah, I think is a worldwide changing. So the global warming has changed everything, not just in the vineyard, but in the vineyards, but also in the fruit production of corn or everything. The climate has changed. The condition in every area of the world is changed. So we are obliged to follow this change and to give and to produce the best wine that we can. In the last 15 years, is very easy to have a good maturation, technique maturation of the grape, but it's not so easy to have a phenolic maturation. Phenolic maturation is the maturation of a part of the grapes that give us the right parfums, the white harmony, equilibrium in the wine, and also a roundness of the wine. If we don't have the right phenolic maturation, we will have wine with the touch of vegetal flavors, vegetal tasting. So the season 15, 20 years ago starts in middle of April. Actual starts in the first days of March. And we pick the grapes about in the same period, October, or in the Irpinian area in November. So it's very, very long season. So it's become very, very important to have a right hydration, the right water balance in the vines and in the vineyards to support the a so long season and to have both a right technological and a right phenolic maturation in the grapes. Every year also is very different compared with the previous and the next. So every year we have to study, to research the best way to interpretate the characteristic of each vintage during the harvest, before the harvesting, because when we harvest it, we make the wine, we cannot change nothing.
No, you're done at that point. It's in the bottle. Yeah. About how much wine do you export to the United States? What would be the percentage of the wine you make that comes over here?
So in our goal is to export about 8-10% of the total bottles of wine that we have. So we have a goal in this direction. United States for us is a very, very important market. Villa Matilda actually export in 28 different countries, but we have also the 60% of our sales in Italy. So to sell our wine in Italy for us is very important for the image, for the commercial line, to stay in touch with all the market in which we sell, and in the market, in the main area in which we produce also our wines.
And availability here in the United States, is it in all 50 states or is it part of the country?
The availability is for 7 type of wine in our portfolio. In the main states in United States, of course, it's a little bit different the selection of wine that you can have in Chicago, in New York, or in Los Angeles compared with Wyoming or like something like that. Probably few a different selection of wine could be closer to the taste of different area.
Can our listeners visit the winery? Do you have a tasting room there?
Yeah, we have an agriturismo in Villa Matilda, and every day we are open and we offer a tour of the cellar, a tour in the vineyards, and a full wine tasting of our wines. So I am very happy when the people come in our area, because when I speak about my wine are just words, but when you stay between the vineyards, you can touch what I want to say. So please come to visit Villa Matilde, to stay with me, with my sister, with all our staff, and to taste our wines.
I'll get there. And for our listeners who'd like to learn about you on the web, what is your website?
www.villamatilde.it. So you can visit our website and we can book a tour in the state or stay in touch with us.
You are encyclopedic in your knowledge of wine. I love how your passion shows on your face. Thank you for inviting me down to Chicago to meet with you, Salvatore. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Learn more by visiting villamatilde.it.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shearer. Copyright 2019.